Goody Two Shoes. Betty by Bo's time again. Good night, honey.
Sweet dreams, dear.
Listening to Fakeologist Radio, where we talk about the biggest hoax of our time, 9/11, and all the psyops and hoaxes before and after September 11th, 2001. You can call us at 518-564-0491 or Skype contact Fakeologist. We stream 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. The show normally broadcasts at 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time, but we may live broadcast any evening time as guests become available. Now, here's your host, Averato. Alrighty, hello everybody. How are you doing tonight? You're listening to episode 132 of Fakeologist Radio. It is Sunday, January 18th, 2015. We started the broadcast at 6:11, which is a little like 9/11, upside down or written backwards. 9/11 is the focus of this broadcast because it is the biggest military media hoax of all time. Say that three times fast without falling on your tongue. The key to understanding today's reality and the media is to understand 9/11. And most people know about 9/11 because it is so big, so vast, it's worldwide, and it is probably one of the most sophisticated military media psychological operations ever done in the history of this generation, for sure. So I try and make a blog called fakeologist.com to try and decode this psychological operation 13, 14 years later, because if you understand that, then you'll understand most or all of the stories that are brought before you, whether they be small local stories or large global stories. Almost every single week you will find a large global story that's promoted worldwide, and to decode it, to understand it, you have to understand the 9/11 PSYOP. And the site that I go to the most to try and decode the imagery and the psychological backdrop of these stories is probably cluesforum.info, which is the leading forum for discussion of these types of events. And it has the best researchers. All amateurs, I take it, and some better than others, but the other feature of Cruise Forum is it's tightly controlled. They don't want people to come on and spray their graffiti all over the board, because the administrators, Simon and Hoi Polloi, are trying to create a compendium, a bit of a digest that can be referred to in the future, a reference. It's like a reference book to media fakery and psychological operations. So hopefully people will be able to refer to it in the future to try and decode its main expose, which is on 9/11. And that's really what it's all about. So my blog, fakeologist.com, could almost be called a fan blog because I refer to it quite a bit. Of course, I gather other stories from other sources, but the main decoding is done at Clues Forum, and that's where some of the best thinkers are. And of course, tonight's episode 132 features Hoi Polloi. And Hoi is, as my log entry at fakeologist.com, as I wrote, I consider him the top essayist and philosopher at Clues Forum. And he's going to discuss tonight another essay that he just finished writing to try and move the ball forward on what we're trying to accomplish. We can spend endless hours decoding every single worldwide media hoax, but really that just seems to take up time and get people nowhere. It actually probably makes more enemies among your normal everyday folk that you deal with than converts. And you could just spend hours looking into all the different aspects of this, of these events. And I don't personally do that. I don't mind others doing it. I breeze through it and entertain their theories about problems with pictures and problems with video. But it really will suck up all your time if you're looking for little things, little exposés to break the hoaxes apart, whether you think they're deliberate or mistakes. It almost doesn't matter in the end. The idea is to control the majority opinion, and the majority does not believe that these are hoaxes at all. So it doesn't really matter what the tiny parts and pieces are. But Hoi is, like I said, a great thinker. I usually post some of his longer essays on the blog, and some of those I have to reread quite a few times because they have some pretty deep thoughts, and not too many people can understand or match them. I think Simon's probably one of them. There's a few other people on Clues Forum that get it, but you really have to think. They really make you think, and Hoi is on tonight to make you think once more about what you want to do in the future with the research, because really a lot of people want to lead you down some very crazy roads or just sit back and wait for the next hoax and try and decode that. So Hoi wants to do some brainstorming tonight to try and figure out what to do next. What can we do next? What is there to do now? Is there anything to do next? And Hoi wrote a little essay tonight that I'd like to welcome him onto the broadcast now, unmute his mic and read it, and we can discuss it. And anyone listening tonight can call in and try and help with the brainstorming. Does that sound right, Hoi?
Yeah, that sounds right. Thanks. Are you getting any echo or anything?
You're sounding perfect. Skype is actually very good tonight, so things sound clear.
Okay, yeah, TeamSpeak sometimes does that echo thing.
Yeah, Skype is clear tonight. So
thank you.
So welcome to the broadcast, and welcome to the Deep Thinking Hour.
Okay, so I am a bit shy about this, but yeah, you Ab scanned through it and said, yeah, no, you should just go ahead and read it. So I'm just going to read it, and then we can just react to it or whatever if we want. But
yeah, read it. So there's nothing to be shy about. This is pretty heavy stuff. So I posted it on the blog entry if people want to refresh it. I personally will just watch you read it at the same time because it helps me visualize.
So subtitle kind of this thing without a title is on the present artificial limit to public dialogue and why we should discuss what we can do about it. So yeah, I'll just go ahead and read it and we can just get started on talking about it. So we claim free speech is free in the sense that we can talk about any topic usefully and come up with solutions to various premises, and that is still mostly true. But how thankful are we for it? In our freedom, we rarely talk about the rights that free speech entails to make changes in our world. Free speech is about the free exchange of not just abstract ideas, but useful ideas about the world we live in. The fact that any ideas are vilified and labeled extremist because they relate to violence is antithetical to the realization that we live in a world that is physical, is violent, and we should be able to talk about it in order to control our relationship to that violence. Hence, the concept of extremist thought is antithetical to the notion of free speech. The idea that extremist thought should be prosecuted and changed with extremist thought is the position of the media. I think we should explore that topic more. The psychopathic method seems to be to talk about controlling the human relationship to violence in terms of controlling violence itself, dominating violence, creating violence, and using violence in order to prevent its direction toward the self until one is too weak to resist and faces fate. That is not called an extremist position by the media, but it is, in fact, just a variation of the jihad or crusade or Zionist or other super tribal positions. What is the media's motivation for constantly promoting the most extreme positions and pitting them against one another? Perhaps it is an exercise in venting steam built up by a human proclivity for violence. Perhaps this also explains the high prevalence of sports in the selections of mainstream broadcasts available in the most heavily promoted media. But let us examine this and see if it really is the best idea for people who lead extremist positions to maintain control. In fact, our free speech and the useful demonstration of different approaches is increasingly constrained by the extremist viewpoint that we don't have room in our public dialogue for anything but discussions of A versus B, black versus white, yin versus yang, baseball sports teams, Red Sox versus Yankees. We can observe only a few major extremist dialogues of any significance in our present dialogue that have escaped the media's direction. I hold a conviction that we shouldn't be clamoring for more amongst ourselves unless it is one that allows us to escape the quagmire of all of them. We have the power to escape the typical dialogues, and we have the power to craft our own. Therefore, the most useful extremist position to hold is that we should avoid extremist positions, including those posited by the media. We could go into a metaphorical scenario where putting oneself in a situation where kill or be killed are the only options is itself on the same level of evil as murdering. But I'm assuming you are intelligent and you understand the point already, and you could even argue for or against this idea effectively. Back to those dialogues that have escaped the mainstream media's patient attention. As I presently see it, there are only a few that are not specifically tribal or specific to cultures. And what I mean, I guess, by that is, there are only a few that aren't, you know, blame the Jews or blame the Jesuits or whatever, blame the Islamists. Yes, there are only a few of any universal relevance which have been ostracized by the media or at best featured as jokes and therefore promoted only in the sense that considering them means the one doing the considering is a childish, insane fool. Because there are only a few of these universal ideas, though they happen to be important, is to me the main reason why most people do not consider the mainstream media to be biased. It is because the media carefully selects that which they wish to inexplicitly downplay that, for most people, the media is mostly a hero of free speech and is only at worst guilty of what they call spin. That is, the common myth is that the media allows discussion of all topics except a few. And these few they will happily dismiss because both the left and right channels of the mainstream stereo treat these ideas with equal derision. The average person is too bombarded by information to make time to consider these derided ideas because of the limited time and patience of the average person to conceive of things that aren't immediately socially useful. Regardless of long-term social relevance of an idea, if it does not help someone navigate the extremist positions blasted at us from all angles, it is actually considered dangerous. The media makes no mistake in calling peaceful concepts dangerous. They actively and willfully do it with the tacit understanding that they have forced on all people inside earshot of a speaker that considering peace leaves less time for considering danger, and therefore less time considering how to navigate the artificial and largely fictional war metaphorically dangled over our heads. So the concept of peace and the pursuit of it is one of the ideas that is downplayed by the media. They will call some things peaceful, such as the triumphant ends of drama movies in which the male hero is rewarded with fame, popularity, sex, or other exciting ideas for the largely artificial male imagination. They will also call peace that which depicts people bonding over some particular ostracization of a group or group member. Peace through hierarchy. These are not useful concepts of peace because they are not really real concepts of peace or what peace could and should look like in our era. There are plenty of books written on what real peace looks like, but there is no time given to it in movies of today except under the guise of sneaky escapes from a dominant message of constant fear and war. Useful navigations toward peaceful pursuits are also demonized as that all-consuming force of post-postmodernity, boredom. Peace is boring from the perspective of a mind in war mode. Therefore, it is universally boring in our culture. The idea that we must check our brains out of war mode and enter peace mode is not considered. Another idea that is ridiculed by the mainstream is that the mainstream does not, in fact, censor these ideas or any ideas. It protests adamantly that it is free and allows discussions of all topics. But when you point out topics that are not discussed, it reaffirms the idea that these non-extremist positions are absurd to hold, let alone hold dialogue over. Another idea practically humiliated and vilified more than the others is the concept of false flags, mass-scale hoaxes, and ongoing media lies using fictional characters or the characters of real-life chronic liars in the form of actors, celebrities, and computer-animated, entirely made-up people. The idea that synthetic events and synthetic characters are treated real is absolutely either taken for granted, as if to force consent on the beholder, or denied rapidly to the point of making the denier appear disgusting for even discussing the topic. The topic becomes disgusting to talk about because of the manner in which the media talks about it. Two of the only places on the entire internet where discussions about fakery technology do not sound utterly disgusting and can be considered on their own merits are very near you, speaking in terms of links. I was asked to be an administrator at Clues Forum by Simon Schack, and we created the site together. That is one of the sites. I am composing this essay for use on the Fakeologist audio program by Ab. Ab's site is the other one I mentioned. The reason I'm writing this is to attempt to use my words to sway people in a way that I haven't attempted before. Normally, I write in essay format under the handle Hoi Polloi in response to posts on Clues Forum, typically related to my friend and fellow administrator Simon's pronounced goal of spreading the word about media fakery technology. We created this forum in response to public demand for a place to discuss these subjects without unnecessary reprisal or distraction. It's not as easy as it sounds, setting up a forum and expecting discussions to happen based on interest. The truth is that people are docile and lazy and almost totally bombarded by A versus B dialogues rather than frank discussions and considerations of modern scientific concepts and evidences. For most people, the most exciting debates and discussions that the public talks about, with basic assumed interest, are the result of public relations assignments to put those topics into the minds of every person within earshot of a speaker. The debate is pre-debated and pre-digested for easy feeding. The left is pre-lefted, the right is pre-righted, the undiscussable is pre-repulsivized, the frame is pre-framed, and the main opinions of the sponsor are well prepared. This power of controlling dialogue through drama is real. This power is real because people have a limited capacity to handle stress and drama in their lives. And simulation technology is increasingly, acceleratingly capable of replacing direct human experience with completely, I repeat, completely artificial, human group or corporation or other group interest designed dramas that attract and hold human attention for being partially relevant to almost all walks of life. Access to the preconceived opinions expressed as artificial drama is not only undeniable, but begged for and paid for by the public. We actually pay for TV access, newspapers, magazines, and even weather information. We become excited to even participate in the slightest broadcast event for the sake of being the drama rather than being subjected to it. Or oppressed by it, I suppose. We are increasingly paying for internet access, but I believe this could be a good thing if it continues to remain freer in speech than the increasingly obsolete and extremist alternative. For all the drama we pay to be a part of, or often at best a target of, created by the most promoted artists, the knowledge we acquire about the world comes with a price. In exchange for providing us the wide world in tiny consumable YouTube packets, the prepared opinion is backed by hoaxes like the nuclear bomb race, the space race, the race for control of drugs, or the race to own and control all extremist thoughts. This is a barter we did not intend to sign up for, but it is one made for us by our politicians and elected officials who claim to represent our interests. This is why we should do something about this. We may be able to make a more peaceful world if we simply choose to believe we can, but to do so means discussion and debate about what options could be agreed upon by those interested. Instead of looking at the actual evidence for such things, it is taken for granted by the mainstream that we have all made this agreement to be manipulated, and that they will work to put a stop to the nasty, invented nightmares and boogeymen that they created. Two of the only places that these ugly artificial competitions for attention are examined for what they are, and for clues about what they might actually be, anyway, are cluesforum.info and fakeologist.com. On these sites, the former of which I help moderate, and the latter of which I have sometimes been a guest discussion participant, we have never, to my intent or purpose, fought for an extremist position or for some extremist control over all dialogue. Instead, I have only argued, if sometimes passionately or hotly, for my right and the right of every person to have this discussion. As such, the topics in question, fakery technology, fraudulent events, lies from trusted celebrities, or lies from trusted strangers that appear and disappear within a single news article, sometimes lose place to the discussion of the merits of even holding the dialogue. I don't want to spend too much time on that anymore. To me, the fact that so often our families and friends' main public positions are pre-crafted, staged, or otherwise the result of steering committees is enough to simply cry, enough of that here, for now, and move on to the important topics being discussed, and now, finally, with our established forum, their implications. Many forums of all kinds in this world happen because of sponsorship. The fake debates and superficial digging of people like Rachel Maddow, Anderson Cooper, and others are literally a product of the mainstream military intelligence community, carefully herding the left into a predictable shape. Its ally, The Daily Show, purports to be a satire, but in fact, it is the best imitation of a satire by those who would prevent fake events from being truly satirized for what they are. All of this is sponsored by the typical media owners, who won't have their media effectively mocked, but will have it ineffectively celebrated by shill in a can, John Stewart, even while ostensibly representing the interests of people within the feeling of belonging product as defined by the media intelligence complex. The more hopeful and more independent The Onion takes an almost neutral position on everything popular of consequence due to its truly neutral or philosophical position on most everything that isn't pop, like immediate pop consumerism or hype. Its sponsorship relies on the harmless and superficial consumerism of our culture, or cultural products anyway, and its desperation for attention. Its ads and interests are suit to match. The Coast to Coast, Alex Jones, and David Icke media empires are helped similarly by sales of books, trinkets, and tickets to gatherings. This itself does not seem too suspicious a crime, since it's just about the most innocuous way to ask for financial support of an idea from the average rich Westerner that could hold the reins of its own government if it grew some balls. However, even these groups find it hard to argue with the mechanisms of their control of the popular dialogue. So they find themselves offering platitudes and ignoring the most informative evidence of our world's functions, not to mention the crossover appeal when they interview one another or define the next big PR release, false flag, non-event as a real problem created by some evil, perpetually new order. One is reminded of the invincible fictional enemy of Big Brother when these types of people discuss. While some dialogue is allowed on conspiratorial sites like, I don't know, Democracy Underground, We Are Change, Above Top Secret, Flat Earth Society, Godlike Productions, David Icke and Alex Jones forums, many of them eschew examination of evidence. They just don't like looking at evidence. And they allow people to be insulted for even bringing up the idea of actors, liars, or the powers of simulation, and how it connects to grand political plays sparked from the very invention of each new technology of illusion. In contrast, Simon and I occasionally, some members too, occasionally pay for the existence of the Clues Forum space on our own, with absolutely no patron, sponsor, lobby, or even much of a social group. And that loose social group hasn't even attempted to direct the religion of consumerism to itself. And we probably could try, and I do think Simon is working on a book to basically spread the information in case the internet is demolished by a policy passed through the next false flag event, but we really do not succeed at marketing. And I think the reason is that we are not in the same kind of cultural place as where the majority of Western thought has found itself captured and controlled. We don't fully believe in marketing because it is connected to the extremist position of arguing for everyone's minds with a sort of intellectual violence, not to mention physiological weapons experiments by the military. Where does that leave us? If we are pacifists in the war of information, how do we hope to change the world for the better? This is the topic I want to bring up and stick with for this show. We must realize we are part of some kind of weird, unique culture of intellect, spawned solely by the spare time with which we express that we are people, and who like peace, and want to see an end to the addiction to extremist paradigms. We can believe this has happened before and it will happen again, but we have no proof of that, only the false assurances that such a belief would give us in moving forward, with little knowledge of what lays ahead. I say we go forward anyway, as blindly as we are, but boldly and bravely, in the interest of truly making a better place for the generations ahead. What has been considered so far as what we can do? Not much. Some of us seem to think marketing, like Alex Jones or David Icke, would be beneficial, and we have entertained ideas of this. Some of us seem to think a revolution of some kind is in order, even though most also have the sinking feeling that most revolutions are controlled military intelligence-sponsored events to coalesce power structures we have no interest or business in considering. Some of us are artistic, and we have written words of poetry or lyrics or music or other arts that might explain to future generations what it was like to create what may ultimately be an obscure cultural artifact, or even a popular one, which perhaps delays obscurity by a meager number of lifetimes at best. Some of us think we should do nothing but keep talking about it amongst ourselves, and occasionally pray and feel gratitude for what allies we have. And this seems to be the most effective solution, since it expects no actual result to come about. In any case, the latter is a healthy place to rest while we consider what, if anything, we might actually do to change things without resorting to the typical power plays of our intellectual enemies that would treat everyone as insentient sheep. All of us has a warrior in us, just as all of us has a peacemaker, bargainer, deceiver, leader, follower, and many other archetypes. But with conscious, patient effort, we can work to design our own curiosity about this world and take the reins on it. We can literally make ourselves less curious about a violent world and more curious about a peaceful world, and therefore transform the world in the interest of what that peaceful world looks like. We have the proof it is worthwhile. The question now is how to go about it. It is with this consideration, or accession, or for lack of a better English word, this understanding, that I would ask you to join me. Join us, me, I go as Hoi Polloi, and my host who goes as Ab, on his show today to help us start a new kind of dialogue that freely and playfully explores answers to questions such as, what can we do to reduce our addiction to fighting words? What can we do to promote peace and collaborative human happiness and to reduce conflicts while acknowledging and honoring our full human spirit, which may include, you know, warrior archetypes? In the interest of avoiding perfectionism in framing a question we could debate forever, at the expense of our tiny sample of eternity, I choose to hope you know what the fuck I'm talking about, and let's chat.
Wow, bravo. Bravo. That, I tell you, I do not retract my words that you are probably one of the best essay writers I've ever read.
You're nice.
You're certainly the only essay writer on these kind of topics, but that is brilliant.
Thanks.
I don't know if I'm even worthy to comment on it, to be honest with you. It's just,
what do you mean?
It's
format. So I could actually talk about it.
It is fantastic. I hope there's at least one or two other people as smart as you that can effectively dialogue on this. You summarized the situation we're in brilliantly.
Thank you. I think Simon is smarter than me. I think that we disagree on things, and he maybe has a maybe not as good a gut instinct as me. But
you guys are different. You come at it from a different angle, but you're both working towards the same goal. And I'm really I definitely can't write as well as this, and I don't expose as much media fakery as Simon. But I choose my role. You know, you should choose your role in this whole equation for what you think you're best suited towards. And for me, I'll be the suitable promoter and facilitator. I think that's the goal, and that's sort of what I've always been interested in.
Yeah,
in anything I do.
Yeah, in a way, it's almost like one of the solutions is we choose a role and we just kind of ride it and see what happens. I chose to moderate this forum and help Simon do his website because he can't do HTML, or he can to a limited degree, but I can do it better and faster. And so he employs me not with money, but like, you know, using my services.
Sure.
In that. And then I try to write and I try to be good for morale. that's my attempt at helping this. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all we can do, but I'm willing to, I want to start a talk about it and, you know, wonder what is it that we can do about this situation?
Yeah, you really summarized it brilliantly, and I told you before when you brought this up, because this is a very heady topic, and some people will call where do we go forward solutions, some people will call it how can we spread the word.
Yeah.
And I said to you, in my opinion, they control the reality so well through their media that we would almost have to use the same tools they use to control the media to counter it.
And that's one of the first problems that, of course, comes to mind is like, wow, they're so powerful. We envy that power. If only we could use it for good. And I wonder if that's actually possible or if I think maybe the tools...
We have the tools now? And I almost think in many ways, I've thought about this a lot, basically, ever since I've been in computers, and I don't know if I've mentioned, I've been in computers since they were at the consumer level. So I jumped on the computer in 1980, spent every dollar I had, and got on it. And the first thing you realize once you get it, after you finish trading all your software as a kid, and you don't end up using any of it, you just trade it for the sake of trading it in the end, is... what is this tool useful for? And as soon as we started connecting the devices together and get some kind of email system, patchwork email system going, this is before the big central servers like AOL and CompuServe, then you could see the power of collaboration. So my point is, yeah, I think we finally have a tool that puts us at the same level as all the big media propaganda machines. The only difference is we don't have the rapidity, we don't have the quantity that they put out. So they literally flood us. They flood our boat every day with information and try and sink it.
Yeah, it's their method is quantity over quality, mm-hmm. and ours is the opposite.
Yeah, we're on the SS Minnow. And every day they are creating tidal waves to sink us. And they're pretty successful, but I still think we have the tools. We still have the boats.
Well, we're not sunk yet.
No. Well, even when we sink, we just bubble back up and we start floating again, because you can't, unless they can defeat the blueprints, which are our thoughts, then we'll always be able to bubble back up and try and coalesce. But we have the tools. I'm convinced we have the tools. So this is, and I'm always amazed that is there only Clues Forum and this one fan site, my site, that are out there in a concerted effort. It seems unbelievable to me if there's really 7 or 8 or 9 billion people on the planet, all of which, or many of which, have access to this stuff.
Well,
these tools.
I don't want to get dragged too much into this discussion, but at the same time, I can't help mentioning, because you asked, I mean, there are forums that discuss certain things, but it's really kind of all about the administration of those forums. How the administration frames the dialogue and, you know, what they choose to ban or not ban, it, you know, they try to pretend they're invisible, but we don't, you know. We outright say on the forum, like, if you don't satisfy us, we will ban you, and, you know, here are our rules.
Mm-hmm. But you have to make it pure.
Yeah, whereas Godlike Productions is kind of like, wait, why did that post disappear, or, you know, or why do they promote a bunch of racist, bigoted stuff, and then they put away, you know, things that question, you know, a synthesized event. So
yeah,
it's so Godlike Productions would have this potential to be an interesting forum, but they just fuck themselves over or shoot themselves in the foot, and I sometimes think it's on purpose.
Sure,
but
it could be a honeypot. There's going to be all kinds of simulated forums as well, don't you think? Of course, that's a natural thing to simulate the forums of discussion and make them difficult to navigate. And as you said, people have very limited time, but mostly I think they're just lazy. People are lazy. They want their thoughts served in a TV dinner and cooked up for them and try to satiate them, of course, but there's no...
Well, that's what they're used to. They haven't... Right. It's like if you raise a child in like captivity, they're not allowed to like speak a language except with you, and you just like feed them their baby food, and their tablet. Never teach them how to like even open the refrigerator. You never teach them how to actually, you know, cook a meal for themselves. All they're going to ever want is the baby food fed to them with a spoon that looks like an airplane. You know, it's like, it's almost like the joke about 9/11 is like, here comes the plane, you know, feeding the baby kind of thing. And to me, it's just about training people, retraining people that, yes, you can do this. You don't have to be a blob on the couch, you know.
And of course, the people that are trained in giving us our thoughts are not trained in the same institutions that we are. So there are people that are trained. There's no doubt about it. We know them. We can recognize them. We see their speech patterns.
Or even how they read the teleprompter patterns, like the way that they move, the way that they,
of course,
you know, look between the teleprompters, and
that's all highly trained stuff. So we have to try and figure out how they learned their training and just reverse engineer, because we might not have access to the original blueprints, and try and figure out how they do it using speech, different patterns of speech to convince others. And that's, again, that's sort of what this broadcast is. I'm an amateur and I'm only trying to simulate in the best way what I like to listen to and discover about how to actively communicate active literacy, which is something we're not really taught. And you've obviously got the gift of passive literacy, where you can write. But of course, writing is no good unless it's being read.
Yeah, I just read this thing that I wrote, but I didn't see it. I don't see it as kind of... I don't see it as something where I have to pretend it's anything else. And that's what I want. I think I would like there to be a difference. Like, I'm worried that, you know, if our strategy is to mimic the mainstream media, you know, what does that entail? Does that mean we're going to end up just being buffoons because it's the same? You know, I'd rather just be honest and just...
Well, it is honest. People do realize honesty. Yeah. Well, yeah. People do see honesty. If anyone wants to call in, I'll give the numbers. Just let me give the numbers. You can call in to Skype at Fakeologist. I do have a phone number people can call in, because Ahoy would like to start a dialogue about what to do next, how to get the word out, I suppose. Is that just the oversimplified message you want to give?
Well, what is it? Yeah, maybe that's it. Like you said, some people will say that we're looking for a solution. Some people will say that we're looking to spread the word. Both of those seem like, okay, good options. I'm basically just, I think that we need to just keep coming up with things. If you want, to prevent dead air, we could just read some of those forum posts that you said you wanted to review or something.
Yeah, well, I'll just put a little phone number out again, since I don't remember it, and people can listen in, who are listening in, could potentially call in. I'll just play it now. You're in the middle of Fakeologist Radio. You can call in at 518-564-0491 or connect with us at Fakeologist on Skype. Join our chat at chat.fakeologist.com. To leave a comment on the show, go to the episode page and leave your reply or link. The show airs live most Saturday nights around 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply call in and tell us your story. Now, on with the show. Listening to episode 132. We're talking with the co-administrator of cruiseforum.info, which is the best website, the best forum to try and decode the media matrix that we're in. They administer the forum to the extent that they try and keep it on topic and without graffiti, without distraction. That's always a huge challenge on forums, unless you have a paid group that is constantly sitting there waiting. And what I see on most forums that tends to happen is they just become big piles of mess, and they're very difficult to navigate. And I don't think anyone has figured out the perfect forum design for the average person to come to and to try and navigate. My site is by no means easy to figure out, unless you really do spend some time there and just drill down and try and use some of the tools of organization and collation to get through it. Or, like any other media in the past, people just look at the front page and get attracted to banners, colors, and images. And maybe that will never change. I personally don't think the human condition, the human ways of perception, will ever change. They have never changed. And all the people that manipulate others can do is just study the reactions of people to the media to figure out how to go from there and navigate. And that's one of my fears, Hoy, is
yeah.
You and I are such a thin slice of people that are willing to try and decode the media, whereas the other people are the great masses. And
well, let's discuss in detail where you got that the inclination to think that's true, that people don't change and we've always been the same. Because I've often thought that too, and I've often come to that conclusion, but now that I'm questioning how things have been in the past and I've read a little bit more, now I'm starting to wonder if that's actually true, or if there have been truly mass changes in how people are. I mean, surely,
maybe you're right, because I did post earlier the Miles Mathis essay about synthesizing the majority opinion.
Yeah,
maybe we are in the majority.
Perhaps
that is a very very positive thought.
Yes.
What if we are all in the majority and we are the only people that are willing to state publicly that we think we're in the majority? We're still out on a limb because we're not getting enough confirmation around us. I certainly don't get enough confirmation around us.
Well, it's true that, I mean, if we're talking about just like peace or something, like the people around me, there are very few people. There are people who support war. You know, but there are also people, so many more that I know that don't. And you know, I was walking today and I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Let's see, all gave some, but some gave all." This is like an army, like pro army bumper sticker, and okay. I thought to myself, kind of like, everyone gives all. No one gets out of this life alive, like. Everyone dies. And and so does killing somebody mean that you're giving more than another person? I don't think so. So this is just, and I think that if you think about it logically, a lot of veterans come to the same conclusion. They say, wait a minute, I was had.
Yes.
They told me I had to kill people to give. It was kind of like a doublespeak thing. And I think that most people would think this way if they actually saw a battlefield.
I think all veterans probably come to the same conclusion that when they get back, then they're stuck. They can't break through their own programming and discuss with others. Just like we are so lucky that we have had enough brain power to reach out and try and find others like ourselves, where perhaps army people can't talk to non-army people because they wouldn't understand. They haven't perhaps seen maybe a head blown off or an arm blown off, or contrarily, maybe when they got there they didn't see anything.
Yeah,
and they saw, well, nothing's happening.
Right, I'm this post, and it's very stressful.
Yeah, and maybe nothing is happening. Maybe they realize they're being lied to, and the public is being lied to, and they're just being part of a simulation.
Yeah. Is Rolo there?
Rolo's on the line. Rolo wants to chime in, and he just had a successful episode 5 of Rolo Radio posted this morning. Good morning, or good evening, or good night, Rolo.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Rolo.
Am I coming through?
What time clearly? Is it?
You're clear.
Am I coming through clearly?
2212.
Check 1-2. Yeah, okay. It's lovely to hear what you said there, Hoyt Blue. That opening I almost teared me up.
Oh, thanks.
It's brilliant.
Well, it was.
And Hoy is so modest that he wasn't sure it was worthy. I said to Hoy, there's nothing that you write that is lacking in anything.
Clues for him and Simon Scheck.
Yeah.
Of course, Simon is going to have his detractors because that he is going against the grain. Like, I don't know how many people there are on this planet. But Simon doesn't ask for money much. He's got a PayPal thing there you can click and give him some money.
Yeah.
But he's not begging for money.
He's not in it for the money.
Yeah, he doesn't do the thing that a lot of them do, which is like, I can't do this without the money. It's more like, we're going to do this whether we have the money or not. Like, we're going to try.
Yeah, because I'm sorry, I shouldn't cut,
no,
cut
no.
you off,
yeah, you
Max.
Cut you off, sorry. That's,
you're fine. Ahoy.
Ahoy, sorry.
Oh, no worries. It's hard, but yeah, ahoy.
One thing I like about Rolo, not only that he will take his top off on YouTube for extra views, but that...
Thanks for that, Rolo.
Oh, did you see that?
I didn't see it, but now I'm going to watch it.
I think Rolo has the passion necessary, and Rolo does get it. That's why I like Rolo. He gets what Clues Form is about. He doesn't necessarily read it right through and through, but I think Rolo understands the essence of the Clues Form and the Fakeologist ideals and what we're trying to promote. We're not selling. We're not really trying. I don't know how we could start a revolution other than just a revolution of understanding and knowledge. And I think Rolo gets that.
A peaceful revolution. And the Charlie Hebdo thread, Clues Forum was on it straight away. And I read through all that thread. And we bullshit from day one. That I still watch the news. I think I'm addicted to it, but I'm glad there are people that then look and then digest calmly and concisely. Look at what we are being fed, and that episode of Fox that I gave to you yesterday was just disgraceful. I mean, it's Rupert Murdoch's bullshit. Crap. It's like, I'm sorry to say that America is a war economy. It is a war economy.
It absolutely is. You're right.
And it needs that to keep going. But we need a systemic change. Sorry to talk over you.
No, no, that's fine. I'm trying to agree with you too, like right on.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other problem, Hoy, is the entire economy. Maybe 50, maybe 100% of the American economy is a military economy. So how do you interrupt the flow of money, which controls people's lives? People are dictated by money, and they are dictated, if they want to eat, to follow through.
Yeah.
And if the economy is so militarily dominated. What could they have controversies about cutting the increase in the budget every year. That's the controversy.
I think there's a way. I think sometimes we focus too much on, we got to change the whole, we have to redesign the whole thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe we just need to just do one little behavior differently,
mm-hmm.
and that'll cause a chain reaction. Because, you know, they say that there's a, like the user on Cluesform, critical mass. There may be a critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
There may be, like, you know, a percentage that sparks some good change. I don't know.
I've heard 5%.
I just wanted to mention real quick that what I like about Rollo is that he's very much into the media circus. He knows the actors and he knows all the shows, but he's still aware that it's kind of like there's something fishy to it. And so...
Well, he's fighting it. He fights it on every level. He yells at the TV.
So, Rollo,
I yell at the TV every night. But no, but there's no one listening.
No, it's a one-way conversation, Rollo.
Yeah.
They don't care what you think.
Judge Janine can't hear you.
Yeah. Well, she can now if she listens to this podcast or...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Maybe we should, just start putting your podcast on USB and mailing them to people.
Why not?
The thing I like about you, Ab, and you, Hoy, is that you're not out here to try and get famous.
No,
we're here to make a difference,
yep.
and a positive difference. Nothing negative about saying that 9/11 was a terror, hoax, fraud, whatever you want to call it, stage event.
Yes.
Yes. That is a positive thing for me. And the first time I heard you and Simon Shack talking, I knew down to my very core that you were doing something that was brave and positive and is going to change this world eventually. But, you know, anything that's worth working at, it doesn't come overnight.
Well, thanks.
I don't care if I put a YouTube video up and I get one view, and it's my mother looking at me going, "You're a fucking idiot."
that's a great message. Thanks.
You're on, mate.
Well, everyone is on YouTube, and just my informal poll, looking around, talking to people. I do get out there. I think that it's probably a pretty good strategy, and I've done it before. Or I just take a clip of a show, my show, or I've even read your post, Hoy, one or two of your posts just on the air, onto YouTube, just to see, just to basically put a fishing line in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I really recommend that to others. Okay. Please make a clip, Rollo, make a clip, maybe just read a bit of the forum and post it. Point people to it and try and get some keywords in there. Maybe people will find them. Let me just welcome Delcroix from IR onto the line. Delcroix is a big promoter of Clues Forum as well and does a lot of good audio and promotion. So, Delcroix, welcome.
Hi, Ab. Hi, Rollo. Hi, Ahoy.
Hi, Del.
Hey, Del.
Del, what can be done?
It's amazing, isn't it?
What did you think of that essay by Hoy?
It was excellent. Very good essay, Hoy.
Cheers.
Yeah, I was listening to it, and I'm thinking, you know, solutions, like you said, there's sites out there, various different sites, and I came from that original angle years ago, you know, it's sort of seeking solutions and things like that. Mm. And just in my analysis of everything that's going on, like, we see the media fakery, we see all that control that's out there, and it's basically what they're doing is they're reinforcing the system that's there, mm-hmm. right? And what I would say, for you know, if I was to sort of tell people what they should do or whatever, is the first thing I would do is turn off that television. I know Rollo and Rollo talk about this, and you know Rollo's into watching it all. I got rid of it a long time ago, mm-hmm. but the thing is, they will keep on pushing their agenda. And what it is to hold up this system that they have. And there are a couple of things that we could do, right? I said turn off the television. That's one, right? But I don't know if you guys realize, over here in Ireland, right, you actually have to have a license to have a television. And they assume, you know, that's a great legal term, but they assume that everybody has a television, because why wouldn't you have a television?
Yeah.
You need your brainwashing every day. And so the deal is over here is you buy a television, then you go and you subscribe to either your cable company or your pretend satellite company, you know, or, you know, you have to pay that. Then you also have to pay a television license. They even employ people to go around to harass people, you know, if you're not on a list that has paid for this TV license. And that's one thing I haven't done. I got rid of my television. I haven't paid a television license in the past 5 years. And I know a lot of people who've done the same over here. There's stuff like that going on, you know. People are just withdrawn from the system.
Mm-hmm. I think boycotting is a classic thing. Yeah, that's a great tool.
That's an Irish original thing, boycott. Mm-hmm. You know where the word boycott came from?
Tell me.
Well, it was actually one of the lords over here. He got this guy over. Boycott was his name.
Oh.
Is to impose, you know, the stuff that was going on in them days. And basically what people did was they just ignored him, turned their back on him.
Yeah.
They literally boycotted him. That's where the word boycott came from. You can look
great.
It up.
Oh, I'm going to look that up. That's
interesting.
That's a great story.
So if it was Del Qua doing it, we would be Del Qua-ing you by just disobeying you.
Well, I've been Del Qua in a lot of institutions over here for the past 4 or 5 years, including the census of 2011. Mm-hmm. That was another one, you know. Yeah. And there are ways of doing it, and it's not all free man on the landy stuff, you know. It's quite, it's precise. And like, touch wood, I'm sitting here talking to you guys, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And actually, on my website at the very bottom of the page, there is a sort of like a four-line it's like a little poem, and that's what I write on envelopes when I'm returning the sender, because basically I do not contract with these people, because it all goes back into that contract law.
Contracts,
and you see, the reason for the media fakery and everything, it's all to bring in more and more contracts and acts and statutes, you know.
Yeah, because they believe that gives them the right to do it.
Like 9/11 was the classic example. The Patriot Act brought in another act. You know,
and that was ready to go.
It was absolutely ready to go.
It's like 1,000 pages or something.
Yeah, I think they tried to push that after the Oklahoma bombing, and it didn't fly.
Okay. You
know? Yeah, the Oklahoma bombing again. How does the front facade come down with a ampho bomb, a crater bomb? It's ridiculous. Anyone who believes. I believe that Oklahoma. It's
well. I think most of us
and all the children,
all
the children underneath. Yeah.
I honestly think that was a visual trial run for the 9/11. I think there was a lot of fakery involved in that, in just the actual presentation.
Was that the one associated with the Unabomber character?
No, this was Timothy McVeigh.
April 19, 1919.
Yeah, that was tied in with the militia groups, the militia meme.
Yeah, Waco.
Wait, the Koresh guys?
No, yeah, that was before. Koresh.
That was Waco.
Waco was around this. Was it before or after? Was within
it
the
was
same.
It was 2 years to the day after Waco.
Okay.
Oh, it was after Waco. Yeah, it was. It was allegedly the, I would call it the Waco response by the local militias that saw an overreaching government going in on. And encroaching on the states, on the private citizen, that kind of angle. So I think it was the dialectic that they created. They created the Waco incident, whatever part was real and what part was not, and they created the response. This was the response.
Yeah, do you think they sometimes invent these things because they think and hope that, like, some population under their jurisdiction actually cares about this and like has a fantasy to do that kind of thing. And so their philosophy is, well, we'll just like make it happen in fiction and, you know, give them this,
yes,
this character.
I think it's creating fly paper. They know the flies are out there. They know they could organize. Let's control the opposition, and that's just opposition 101. Let's gather them together. You could call it entrapment. Let's create an event, and maybe real people will join in, and will send in money, and will coalesce. Because let's be honest, it's difficult to organize people to do anything. And again,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's kind of like, yeah, it's weird. It's like they make us super lazy, and I don't know how you feel about the fluoride thing, but in America, it's like there are states that are heavily fluoridated and stuff like that. I don't know.
I understand the fluoridation thing, but I think it's almost irrelevant. It's almost a red herring. Because people,
regardless of that,
how much water do people drink? Let's think about this critically. Yeah. Do you drink glasses of tap water?
I don't drink
water?
Enough. I should drink more water.
But do you drink,
too much beer.
But what does America drink? They do drink water.
Drink filtered water, yeah.
They don't drink tap water. They drink soda.
Yes, that's true. A lot of them do. But no, a lot of them drink water. Well, anyway, but it's a side issue. I didn't want to go into too much, but I just wanted to mention that it's like, okay, so if Americans are docile, who is going to actually organize a militia for real?
The military.
Who's
going to
actually
do it?
Nobody.
Right. The military will coalesce that.
The military will do it. So
they will synthesize it, yeah.
What we need, Max, Hoy, is Rupert Murdoch, the guy that owns, and I'm calling him a scumbag, and I won't back down on that, unless he changes his mind. He runs the show at News Corp, so then in turn he runs Fox. So he needs
to... Well, he is the front man. Be careful just taking a front man and making him... He's the front man for a huge news organization. It's easy to grab a handle and rip at it, but let's... This is more than just... I'm saying it's more than personalities. You make it seem like one guy is organized. This is all part of the... He's just a front man for the military-industrial complex. He's the media representative, so...
Are
we looking for changes in this world?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to talk over. I'm not...
No, it's okay, Rollo.
And I don't want to be Justice Janine and talk over everyone here. Like, Del, he's always talking. No, Del's one of the lovely guys on this
planet.
Rollo,
go on. Just say it.
Look, I think Rupert Murdoch, if he's at the top of the pyramid, you know... We need to sort of say to that guy, like, why are you giving us all this hate on television? This fight, bomb them. And we know because the system is the problem. There's no left and right. We know there's no left and right. It's like there's no CNN and Fox are the same thing.
Well, let's be careful. There is a left and right, but they don't control the levers. They don't make the difference. Let's be clear on that.
There are definitely people who are like aligning themselves with whatever is presented to them as the left,
of course.
And there are people who will align themselves with the opposite too. And it's just, but I partially agree with Rollo that there definitely are culpable people.
Well, Simon says that a lot. He says, let's get the Howard Sterns, the Matt Lauers, the Katie Couric's, the Dan Rathers. Let's get
round them. Put them in jail.
Well, let's...
Yeah,
put,
damn right. Yeah.
But then we get back to the same question, the statement that we've said over and over again. In jail for what? Lying? Lying is not illegal. We've discussed that 100 times. Lying...
True, but it is illegal to yell fire in a crowded... Okay, this is an age-old, stupid counter-argument. But it's the one that I've heard, so I'm just recycling it. Playing devil's advocate. It's illegal to yell fire in a crowded theater and have people trample over each other and get them all.
What's the charge? Discombobulated. Mischief?
Yeah, the charge is in like incitement to
inciting a riot.
To endanger people, to like cause people to go into fight or flight mode unnecessarily. And I think that, yes, we could argue about the philosophy of that, but I don't think it's a bad idea to push for a law to make it illegal for news organizations to lie and to force them to do fact-checking. I don't think we have anything
yeah,
like
go
that.
Yeah, go no zones and hate speech, which is what we get mostly out of Fox. Sorry, Hoy, I cut you off.
No, but that's...
Yeah, well done, mate. I am so on board with you, and obviously you and Simon. This is a conspiracy because you and Simon are good friends, and but we are too. I think you've known me for 2 years or 3 years now, and I'm fully on board. I can't express the way you do in a calm, concise manner.
Well,
unemotional.
What I appreciate about you is that you lay out your passions where they're at, and that helps me examine myself too, because you say, like, you know, I don't like bullies. And I don't like bullies either. I have a problem with bullies. I think, yeah, there's definitely
and they
some
promote bullying. Yeah, they promote bullying on Fox News.
If you look at that video closely, you can see my spine isn't perfect. I was operated on. And then some nasty things happened to me, and I was teased to unbelievable heights when I was a kid. Mm. Everyone said, "You're different. You're different," and bullied.
High praise, Rollo. High praise.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We understand the concept. They say don't bully, but then they promote bullying with their lies. But I get that. That's a
yeah,
good
so
point.
Yeah. So maybe it is possible to try to pass some legit legislation. You may call me naive.
Hi, can I say something, man?
Go, Dale.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Every day of the week in nearly every country in the Western world, people are charged with crimes ones that actually commit crimes. You know,
yeah.
Also rob a bank or whatever like that. They are actually charged with conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it sounds ridiculous because that's the word that we're all told to, you know,
avoid.
Shun
against. Yeah.
From. But that's what they're charged. And these people in the media, if nothing else, they're guilty of conspiracy for maintaining the status quo of this ongoing robbery of humanity.
Yeah, they're legally implicated. Yeah.
They're legally culpable for that, if nothing else. Like, they can turn around and say, "Oh, well, we're not, you know, we can lie if we want because we're just we're broadcasting stuff." And that's, you know, there was that judgment, so-called judgment, and I think that's where to get them as well. You know, if there's people out there, you see, that's the other part that I meant to say earlier on is spreading the word. That's the best thing that we can do on top of everything else, because it's when people that are in the system. The system cannot fall unless the cogs in the wheel of the machine start seizing up. And that's the lawyers and people who are working on the low level, civil servants. I would classify them as the top group in this whole structure, right? They're the people that are there from day one. Their fathers worked in it. Their grandfathers worked in it. And these are the people, the paper pushers. These are the faceless people, the people who really get things done. And it's up to us to kind of wake those people up. Now,
yes, exactly. We need to – because there are people, there are lawyers who want to do good. They just don't have any cases that are convincing to them.
Yeah.
We could try to create a convincing case.
Hmm. And, you know, take them at their own inside the system. You know, because you're not going to destroy the system. The system has to sort of...
And then who wants to, really? I mean, but...
You know?
Well, I mean, okay, there is a population. I mean, I know that, at least with African-American friends, they say, okay, you're naive because you think the system was set up fair in the first place? Like, I was three-fifths of a person back then. You know, I wasn't even, like... And before that, I was a non-entity. So, you know, it's stupid to think that it can do anything good for people except just collapsing. But I see that, and I recognize that sentiment.
And at the same time, I think we can do better. We can keep trying to do better.
Yeah, you're dead right, because people cannot. A system is only, yeah, the system is, people need a system in order to, if they want to function in some sort of society, right? It doesn't have to be corrupt, which it is. It doesn't have to be, you know, the fruit of a bunch of elites, you know?
No, it doesn't.
People can get on generally on a general level anyway, you know, we'll be told by the media that everybody's out robbing and killing each other. It's a small minority that does that. It's a small minority that control everything, that's telling us what's going on.
Yeah, they control by illusion. It's illusion. They exactly. Control by illusion.
But, you know, like there's a wristwatch. Is that the time? No, that's a wristwatch. Time is a made-up thing.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. True. By the way, I just want to talk about one tiny piece of technology that I found on another broadcast. I believe Freedom Radio or the Max Resistance Radio Network. Those guys are interesting. I don't know exactly what their stance is on media fakery, but it's worth exploring and listening to. They have introduced me to a technology called Audio Now. So if for some reason you cannot listen on a computer and you don't have a smartphone, you have a dumb phone, you can call in onto the Audio Now phone number, which is in Iowa, at 712-832-8124, and listen to
that. That dials into your show?
That dials into an audio link to Fakeologist Radio. So that you can't call into the show, but you can just listen. So just yet another piece of technology to help spread the word. So as people may or may not know, s1.fakeologist.com streams 24 hours a day. I just replay this show until the new show comes on, and sometimes that takes weeks. So this show just runs over and over and over again, and I do put a couple audio chats in to mix it up, break it up. So you could dial into that phone number anytime from a telephone, if anyone still has an old-fashioned POTS line, or like I said, a non-smartphone, and listen to the broadcast, including it live. So just another little piece of technology that is free that they give us and we should use.
I loved it when I heard you the other day when you said that you got your first computer in 1980. Like, I don't know if it was an Apple II or what you got.
Yes, it was Apple II Plus.
You got your first computer. And so you love Howard Stern too. So that's why we're doing a little bit of radio now. Yep. But you use technology as best you can. So that's why I'm so appreciative, because I'm my life when you talk, I can see my life in the same way.
Yes, you can do the same thing.
I wanted to be a superstar. No, I wanted to be. You see how attractive I am on that that video that I made.
Yeah, you have a face for radio.
Face for radio. Thanks for that.
And probably so do I.
So glad that you guys are still doing this, and we won't stop, because people like Hoi Polloi and Simon Check and Clues Forum,
well, they won't let us stop because they keep bombarding
the bastards honest. Keep the bastards honest.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if nothing else, applying pressure until we figure out something else is good.
Yeah. Well, either that or provide them a reflection of their bad works, and they can see how it's impressing or not impressing people. And my biggest reservation about your ideals, Hoi, is that they make the first impression and the strongest impression. Our impression is a sad fifth or sixth or seventh place
for most people, but yeah, not for us. You make your own first impression. And Rollo makes his, and Dell makes his.
Yeah. Well, we've been converted. We've been flipped, all of us. We've flipped.
I've met people, and when they've had a bad introduction, if they met me when I was really, really drunk, they'll never look at me the same way again. They'll just say, no, I don't like you. But you have to work at it, work at it, work at it. Look, that was wrong, what I did. The first time we met, I'm sorry for what happened. Mm-hmm. And eventually,
maybe not this time, but we get it. Yeah, episode 5 was good.
All right. Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses for sure. In social,
Olaf, for fake sake, the first time we met, we had hammers and tongs.
That must be an Irish term.
Right. Yeah, we thought we were all friends, but they were like Pete. Who was it there? That night, it was like a whole bunch of people we didn't even know. And it was a kind of bully. It was a bully fest that night. But anyway, Del, well done, man, for sticking with it. How's your old mate doing over there at on the bog?
Delqua, just give your website so people know what you're talking about and where you're and what work you're doing.
I basically post stuff, you know. I just find things and I heavily promote Media Fakery. You know, I see that and an awful lot of alternative stuff that even people in the alternative media don't really like, you know.
Uh-huh.
But and I have my own radio as well. It's Outside Radio.
Yeah.
And it's basically how you get to the view from the bog, because that's the name of my site. And basically, you know, I only have to, you know, go outside the door here and, you know, I'm in the bog. So that's why it's a view from the bog.
Is it something people listen to? Do you have a good following?
Yeah, listen to it, yeah. And I literally put up show at the moment. Like, I have an auto DJ that's always just playing. It's kind of like Ab's stream, you know, where he plays the show until he does another one. And what I do is I load it up with stuff. I have a couple of VAB shows, you know, obscure shows, just various different things. It's stuff that I listen to, you know?
Right.
And I just put it up. And then I can go live as well whenever I feel like it, you know? I haven't done a live thing in ages.
Yeah, but Del and I came at this from similar angles. That's why I was so interested in hearing from Del, because it almost seemed like we took parallel journeys to where we got to, slightly different, but Adele has a pretty good interest and handle on technology and radio, and it's not exactly prepackaged and ready for turnkey operation, creating a little radio. So there's some intelligence and there's some work to build it, but Adele did it almost exactly the same way I did it, independently, and then we just sort of saw each other doing the same thing and talk to each other now, which is great.
That's so lucky. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I came across Ab, you know, way back waking up with Ab before Fakeologist, you know, before you coined the word. And, you know, I've been promoting his shows because he was interviewing some very interesting people.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing.
A lot of diverse people. Yeah, Ab just dives right in. I can't even do what he does.
I've tried. I haven't had the consistency lately, but because I've been pretty busy in my day job. But when I get a chance, I do like to talk to people and basically ask
them. And even
them,
non-people, you like to even talk to people who may not be people, and you don't even care, which is great.
Well,
I can't do it. I don't have the patience for it.
But there are people out there that say they're real people. And yeah, I probably do it just interview besides yourself and Simon, mainly shills. But the point is those people are
not mainly shills. But yeah, but I mean,
maybe if this was a radio show and I called in, like Max, Hoy, would you give me, like, if I said something stupid, you would cut me off in a second if I said, no. Then I would say something stupid like 9/11 is an inside job. Ah, cut the guy. That's what happens down here in Australia.
Well, I was actually going to ask you all, because I guess we're all from different countries now. We got Canada, Australia, Ireland now, and America. So,
and America yourself.
What's the status on? This may sound like a very dumb question, but just humor me. What's the status on, like, if you said, I'm going to start my own country. Yeah. What? How would people, if you said, I'm going to start my own country, how would people react? Because I think in some places you could do it very nonviolently. Do you think that's true? Or
They anticipated your question about 10 years ago, man.
My home is my country. And if they come in there, and of course they do, because I've got the box in the corner of the room.
It's not just every Englishman. Every man's home is his castle. You should be allowed to live peacefully in your own dwelling without being hassled. Right? That's
well done, Dale.
Seriously, there was a television program. I'd say it was about 10 years ago, or maybe it was, you know, maybe a bit less, eight years ago or whatever, where a guy did, and it was kind of done tongue in cheek, and it was on
They have to ridicule it.
Yeah, it was on the Channel 4 network, where this guy actually did create his own country. He went through the process. He was shown. It was like a big propaganda advertisement for basically, you know, your local system in England. This was set. It went right up to the United Nations. So it was even promoted to the United Nations. But at the end of the day, he declared himself his own country.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, and here's another funny thing. You could ask any Irishman over here, when's America's Day of Independence? You know, and everybody.
July 4th, 7-11.
July, right? And when's Ireland's Day of Independence? You know, Irish people don't even know that. Well, it's been growing in the past 5 or 6 years, you know, a lot more people know it. But it's actually this Wednesday, the 21st of January.
Hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, Ireland, the whole island of Ireland, was independent and declared a sovereign republic and recognized by the League of Nations at the time.
Happy birthday, Ireland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know, I'm actually, Dale, I'm actually related to Michael Collins. Do you remember him?
There you go, man. Well, you should know. You should be celebrating on Wednesday. It's Ireland's Independence Day, the 21st of January. It was short-lived. It lasted for 4 years. Then we had civil wars and everything else. But it still stands. It was declared a sovereign republic. And that's the difference between just a republic. It was a sovereign republic. It's where everybody in the country, as an individual sovereign, is in that republic.
That's what America tried to do, but the banks took it over real quick.
Yeah,
exactly. It just got resold right back to England.
Yeah, but here's the beauty, of a sovereign republic as opposed to democracy, right? This is the beauty of this thing. Say we're all here in our own, this is our little country, the four of us, okay? And say Ab and yourself and Rollo decide to come up with some rule or law, right? That, like, you know, that we all had to pay in a bit of a tax towards it.
The media can't. The media must get fact-checking. That's the first law.
And Dell says, no, I
go,
don't.
No-go zones in Birmingham. You can't go to Birmingham because somehow it's all Muslim. Is that? Well, and Fox got away with that for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, I'm just sort of trying to explain the concept.
Sorry, dude.
Republic as opposed to a democracy, right, is that it, like, you know, there's 100 people on an island and 99 of them decide to enforce some rule, and the one guy doesn't like that particular rule, it doesn't apply to him, right?
Oh, you're talking about consensus in a way. That's a form of consensus.
I'm also talking about consent. Is the important one, Hoy, because that's our individual as a person or as a human being, our consent is paramount. So it's up to people to consent to all this kind of stuff. And everything that's done to us, really, when you think about it, it's by our consent.
Yeah. No, that's what they want us to think. That's what they try to convince us. They try to say that, we asked for media fakery because you secretly consented. You weren't aware that you consented, but that's not consent.
What if you, when you signed the piece of paper, when you went to hospital and they put you under and you consent to have my left leg chopped off and they chop off the right one?
Well, that's just a mistake.
But we can
consent to being legislated by voting. That's what they tell us. We are signing over our wish to a representative,
yes,
who, of course, almost never represents us. But we've signed it over. But they understand that no one will take them to task. Just like nobody will take the media to task. There's no mechanism. Or they might give us a really weak mechanism. For instance, recall legislation, which they make fairly difficult to occur. And then what happens, of course, is we just end up replacing that person with just another copy or a slightly different flavor of the same person. Because the system has been hijacked by people that are interested enough to control it, because they know there's enough that are not interested enough to do anything about it. They know the levels. That's what perhaps a lot of these psyops are doing. They're constantly measuring the level of resistance or reaction. Just like we are supposed to, when we used to fill up at a gas station, we'd go in and we'd get our oil checked every time because it could dangerously fluctuate to low levels. And these psyops, these polls, perhaps, are constantly checking the level of dissatisfaction in the population. For instance, if they see people are really starting to maybe have trouble in the economy, they don't have enough spending money, they can just take the lever, the magical lever, for instance, of oil, and lower it down to less than half of what it was last month. And all of a sudden, the whole population that might have been restless and agitated, well, that wash of money, that release of money might just calm them down and let them buy more of whatever they want to buy to satiate themselves. So, again, these psyops, I think, are always measuring what is the level of tolerance for control. Because for the most part, you have to agree, Hoy, that, or you don't have to agree. That was just a little...
Maybe I do. I don't know.
That was a technique of persuasion there. You must...
I haven't had to believe something yet, but maybe you're about to prove
you must agree with me that...
I enjoyed that.
That the people... That most people are very lazy, and anyone who decides to step up to the plate and control the mass and say, well, nobody else is here. Let's see what I can get away with. Okay, let's see how far I can push it. And let me just run the thing for a while until maybe the fire gets too hot, for instance. Mm-hmm. And
I've seen that happen.
Because they just know that people don't step up. Like, you could do any experiment with a group of people and create a situation where...
Maybe they do step up and they yell at the TV sets all night long, but no one's listening.
Yeah, but your TV does not have a microphone.
Hoy says it's one... Hoy, you got to change your name, otherwise I'm going to call you Max all night long. But
you mean on the Skype? Like, yeah,
I yell.
Oh, it's really back to Hoy's initial essay. Like, it's to wake more people up. So,
to the essay.
Is to keep doing what you're doing, Hoy.
Yes. Right,
on Clues Forum, and for Simon to keep doing what he's doing, for Ab to keep doing what he's doing, and Rollo, keep doing what you're doing as well, man, but turn off your feckin' telly, you know?
But then he couldn't do what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his fuel.
How do I do what I do?
That's his fuel.
What's the damn bullshit?
Yeah.
We're being shoveled.
Get reruns, you know, get some torrent and just get reruns. But... No, seriously, I think that is one of the keys, is to just keep trying to wake people up. Because, like I said before, you don't know who is going to come across Clues Forum tomorrow.
Yeah. What are you going to say, Hoy?
Oh, well, I mean, I was just going to say that you basically were talking about things that still interested me about the nation thing, because for me, it was kind of like this concept that, yeah, like people lose interest in participation, and then that's what causes corruption. And so there's this argument that people say, well, you got to participate. And on some level, I think that's almost true, but then people just get exhausted with the corruption, and they just it just becomes the psychopaths who take
you can
the,
see
the
it
power.
in all things. When you get a new person into an institution, I've been at my business for a long time. quite a few years, and I see it with management. We get managers coming in, and they come in with such fervor, especially when they come from outside the industry, and they come in with such fervor. They say, "Hey, I'm here to change things. How you doing? We're going to make some changes. We're going to make this place better." And I just look at them and I say, okay, I size them up. I say, I give you 3 months and then we're going to grind you into a fine powder and blow you out the door. Because the system, even in a corporation, you will find that everyone has their position. Everyone has their place in the fort, and you're not going to get anywhere unless you blow the fort up. You
would have to call themselves journalists.
You would have to blow the whole thing up. That's what I mean. You would have to blow it up to make things happen. And again, I really believe that the people that run this place, the PRC, the predatory ruling class, whatever you want to call it, they understand the science of managing people. They understand the levels of indifference, laziness. They understand what it takes to make things happen. You literally have to blow buildings out of the sky. And even that doesn't get people's attention anymore. It's fantastic.
But we just need to...
It got my attention on September 11th. It got my attention on September 11th.
Yeah.
Look, well done, Ab. There are journalists and journeymen. There are some people... And I'm sorry to say that all I see... is like the three people in the room here now are a real journalist, someone who cares not to hold up a stupid sign like Charlie Hebdo and in front of the camera. Oh, you know, when you see people on TV and the camera comes on them and they start waving around like fucking retards, and you go, oh, well done. Oh, well, you're on the camera.
But
oh,
they were. Well, but don't forget, they were given that sign. That was their thought. They didn't have to come up with that thought either. They're so lazy that they're given the sign.
A mass manufactured sign.
Yeah. Did anyone ever question the term journalism? Why is it an ism? It's like communism.
It's like you believe the journal.
It's one of the few. It's one of those few careers or industries that's an ism. I'm just wondering if there's anything to be said about that. Why is it an ism?
You think about it, Ab, right?
Yeah.
A genuine person, right, would be there keeping a record of what's going on, and he would put it in the journal. So you might call him a journalist, you see, which even that word has connotations.
That's true. You know? Well, we have histogram.fakeologist.com. That's where we keep track of what we think are perceived PSYOP hoaxes. So anyone who's new to this broadcast, go to histogram.fakeologist.com. It's an open spreadsheet, which I do save as often as possible, and hopefully you guys can do the same thing. That way, if it does get damaged or altered with graffiti, we can restore it. But that is a journalistic journal.
You had that Tom from Connecticut. Have we heard from him recently? Because he was one of the ones that, when it came to weaponry and war,
well, he understands. Really he described the art of psyops,
the art of war
and war.
Yeah,
and psyops. If anyone wants to find the audios, I did save some of them, and I did link to them. They're on John Friend's talk show. A lot of them. And I did save a bunch, and I do have them playing often at
S2. That's why I have so much respect for that guy. John Friend spoke to Simon Shack one week and spoke to the guy who pretended to shoot himself.
Ace Baker.
The next week. Yeah. But and
S2,
I listened to both.
Yeah, S2.fakeologist.com.
I'm in favor of Simon Shack.
Yeah, S2.fakeologist.com. I do play some of Tom's audios, interviews, because I agree. He was one of the only people that would deconstruct the media fakery psyopery from a military perspective. He did seem to have some kind of insider knowledge. And I think he did call into my Fakeologist Radio Raw at one point and try and get a word in edgewise. It was a busy call, but he was using the praise methodology to win our favor. I'm not sure if it was deliberate, but
the story with that, like, it's out there. John Friend actually went to New York. And you see, your man is from Connecticut.
Right.
And he agreed to meet and all. They were going to meet up and have, you know.
Okay.
And he just disappeared, didn't turn up and didn't return any more calls or, you know.
Okay.
Requests from John, you know. I remember he did that. And that's before John did a couple of shows on Outside Radio, you know. He doesn't do them anymore because he got a job that, you know, interfered with his time zone. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, that's.
Are you saying then that we can't believe what Tom has to say?
No, I'm actually saying I actually like the guy Tom, because anything he's ever said stands up to reason. I'm not trying to cast any doubt on Tom in Connecticut either. I'm just saying he disappeared after that. You know, I'm just telling you that that's what happened.
Well, people tend to get tired.
I mean, we've had a few moderators also just go, you know what? I agree with what you're doing, but this is exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm taking a break.
Yeah, yeah, I know, man. I do it myself.
You sound tired. You sound tired now, Hoy.
I am a little tired, actually. I just got done with the day of work.
I could hear it in your voice.
Yeah, Hoy, there's a lot of great contributors, though, that should be called out on Clues Forum that really get it.
Well, we could definitely do that. I don't have the list right in front of me, people that come to mind. I'm just going to forget somebody if I start doing that, though. I don't want to do that.
Okay, well, I'll do it.
You can always put it in the show notes.
Proper list.
If you forget, put it in the show notes. You'll be right.
Yeah. Well, okay. There's a couple I've tried to get on. If you get a hold of them, I'd like to chat with them in a bit of a round table. For instance,
I would love to hear from Matt.
Matt, yeah. Non ho capito.
Oh, non ho capito. That means I don't understand in Italian. I don't think he will.
Okay.
I don't think he
will.
But
he's been active recently.
He's more like a guy who's just kind of like, you know what, I'm doing this because I care, but I don't really want to be.
But he really understands. He really understands, and he's quite active now on the Paris shooting hoax.
Yeah.
On that thread, the Charlie Hebdo, whatever you want to call it. I like Paris shooting hoax. It's much easier.
Yeah, he's made a lot of amazing points.
And Critical Mass has been very active in the nuclear research and looking into the history of the whole nuclear hoax. And it's so instructive on where these characters came from, where they're trained, and how the story came about, how the myth was weaved. That to me is fascinating.
How all the nuke things are made in like similar studios, and it's deconstructing the method of animation, if you will.
So those are a few guys that have really been quite active and quite good, and it would be nice to put a voice to the script, to the writing, so we can get a further dimension on the few people that get it. And I think those people would be probably philosophical enough to try and comment on your essay tonight and try and figure out how we can push the ball forward.
I'm sorry. Can I?
Yeah, go.
Are you wrapping up?
No, I'm not wrapping up right now, but I just wanted to bring it back to the thesis of this broadcast, which of course is your essay that I posted.
Okay, so one of the things I was thinking about, the reason I brought up the nation or country thing was because I thought, okay, they do it, you know, the Pope made his own little country, and San Marino made their country, which seems like almost it's just like a car dealership and a castle. And like, I mean, people can do it. But the question is, is that really a solution? Because in a way, you know, I feel like it almost isn't, because then, you know, that's just playing that game, which requires, you know, this military and stuff like that. But I was thinking, you know, really, if we want a law and it doesn't go through like a huge country like the States, you could always try a local thing. You could always try it just pass it for your city, you know, and then see how many mainstream news things can actually get through that legislation. And then other cities will wake up to that and go, oh, wait, you know, CNN was banned because they don't do fact checking. OK, interesting. And that it might just be the spark to something.
Oh, I see.
You never know.
So you really want to block out the media.
Back in the day, the reason Catholicism, which is obviously Pope's a big part of, everything got funneled up to the Pope because everybody went to confession. And it just gets funneled up. We just live in a different world. In 100 years or 200 years later, we have the internet now. This is almost the same thing. We get funneled to Alex Jones. We get funneled to lying scumbags.
You don't forget, the internet was given to us. That's the thing. We always have to have that project back, you know?
Well, the military created it.
It still is a Pentagon project, basically.
Sure.
Yeah. And no matter what Al Gore will tell you, you know, he said he invented.
Well, everyone
can is it global warming or climate change? They can't make their mind up. No one's believing it, rebrand it. No one's believing global warming.
That's true.
It's full of climate change.
Go ahead, Hoy.
I know people who analyze the data and stuff, and there's arguments, and there's arguments in either case. So I'm kind of on the fence about it.
But there has to be the dialectic in there too. They control both sides of the argument, and they will synthesize and make sure the outcome is strictly controlled, I think. But there'll be money to be made either way.
On the fence. I heard that,
but there'll be money to be made up or down on that.
Do you believe in God or don't believe in God? Like, are you an atheist or a theist?
Oh man, Rollo, that's such a bomb. But I guess
I'm a non-theist. And when people ask me, what the fuck is a non-theist? It means the whole system is bullshit.
I think that's also atheism, but I'm not sure. I think what you're saying is...
Don't put me in that. I'm not in that crowd. I'm not an atheist. I'm a non-theist.
Well, that'll be a new crowd then.
I'm kind of like that, I guess. Yeah, I am. And the one... I would say... no, I mean, I'm comfortable with saying I'm an agnostic, really.
Yeah. I like that word, too. I would put myself there. Because now that we see how controlled evolution is, it seems to be we're back at square one with creationism, which seems equally absurd to the thinking person.
To me, it's just we're in here and now, and you know, we haven't been properly trained by previous generations. They've got lazy. They didn't train us how to think for ourselves, philosophize for ourselves, make our own math and make our own sciences. We've been trained to just download the existing maths and sciences.
Or to enjoy the here and now, which is what I think you're trying to say. Right now, talking to you, Hoy, and you, Ab, and Del. I'm happy.
Hey, likewise, me too. Thanks, Rollo.
Yeah, this is good stuff. We're on the cutting edge. We're on the cutting edge of thinking.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, we have been led around in circles since we were born. Since before we were born, our parents, our grandparents. We've all been led around in circles in various things, you know, like, you know, flat earth, round earth, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, reeling around in circles.
Yeah, yeah. I think that we could, if we sort of retrain ourselves, we might be able to have...
I like the way you say that, Hoy, retrain. It's unlearning the bullshit we got taught at school. You have to unlearn
re-educate
most of the crap that we were taught, and it is just shit.
Do you have the problem in Australia where like so many history books in the States, they're written in Texas, and they're written from the perspective of like this really neoconservative slant. They they give like scant sentences to genocide of like the American people and things like that, and it's just astounding. In Australia, history books, do they all come from one place?
We did it down here. We killed all the black people. This is what we got told, is that whites came down and killed all the blacks. And from what I can see in my lifetime, that seems to be the case. Like the Holocaust. Can we question that in the media? You will absolutely be pilloried. We cannot question the Holocaust. Yeah, the Holocaust is a joke.
Even if you question the number, like if you're like, what if it's 5,999,999? No, jail.
That's what we're told. Even if it's not true, the effect is the same, self-censorship. Which is a lot easier than actually trying to arrest somebody.
Well, Ab, if you worked at a news corp, if you worked for Rupert Murdoch and you said the things that you do, you know how long you would last?
Mm-hmm.
The editor, the sub-editor or whatever, you'd be out the door. But that's why we have a little bit of freedom now. And this Charlie Hebdo, how they're trying to turn it on its head. So us questioning the bullshit, which is the Charlie Hebdo, the whole thing. Did you see actually in the offices, the photos that they showed us? There's hardly any blood. And there's supposed to be like, there's supposed to be blood everywhere.
It's funny. It's like someone dropped a plasma bag. Whoops.
Yeah, there you go. But we know.
Yeah, they should have dropped they did. They dropped the plasma bag the day after the guy on the pavement got shot in Paris, you know. And then they got your man out of Sky News to say, here you can see the blood that was put there because...
Yeah, they say the blood that was put there was spilled because...
Man, like the last time I saw that guy, he used to be a reporter in Northern Ireland, see? So there was blood put there all over the place in Northern Ireland as well, you know? 30 years of media fakery, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, more than that. It's like, how long's media been around, as you say? It's like, even with back in newspapers.
Yeah, newspapers. I know, man. I was just putting it into context of, you know.
You're right, mate.
So-called troubles.
So have we solved everything yet?
We're done. Yeah, I think so.
Everything is grand now.
Well, man, you've got us thinking, which is always dangerous and good at the same time. I posted your essay, which is great, at episode 132, Hoi Polloi on cluesform.info. Everyone needs to read it at least 3 times to figure it out, to understand it. No fault of your own.
It was well read.
Yes, okay. Very well read.
When he read it on the beginning of the show.
Very well.
I thought it was a fantastic piece of work. I don't think Hoi is naturally a radio guy.
No.
But because you want to be precise. But we can't always be precise when it comes to radio. And certainly when people talk to one another.
I know.
Sometimes we say the wrong thing, and then can you go back and go, oh, right, I didn't mean to say that.
No worries. It's just, sometimes I think I'm a much better writer, which is why I don't do much radio.
No, but it's really good to talk it out, too, because if people have questions, well, you can answer right away, and this is a pretty heady topic, and it needs to be talked out.
Let's continue it then. I feel like we're on the verge of this. As long as we agree that we have reason to be optimistic and we can...
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I hear you and I hear your voice and I hear the tone of your voice, you're an eternal optimist.
That's me, yeah. That's pretty much it.
Well, mind
me. Me too. Yeah. I want to give you the biggest hug, but you're on the opposite side of the planet.
If I ever get back to Australia, I'll buy you.
We'll hug one day. You can give me a big hug.
I'll get you something. We should hang out.
All right, man.
Yeah, we should. If we ever cross paths, definitely just confirm that we're on the same page and we are somewhat flesh and blood.
We are living people, yes.
On the same plane anyway, lads.
Yeah, in the same dimension. We're at least that, please.
Well, let's try and get others discussing this and chatting about it and thinking about it. Hopefully, we'll get a few comments.
As long as you continue, Aberetta, with thefakeologist.com. You don't have to post every single day. Sometimes I just think, oh, all right, you haven't posted today. But but at least you.
Well, that allows you to go back to the old.
I see where you're going.
Yeah. When I have time, I post. But if I don't post, then you can go back into an older post. Or we also have forums.fakeologist.com where you can start your own little thread. We have a number of people who have taken advantage of that and put some interesting stuff on. We're not quite as into creating a digest as Clues Forum, but create a conversation on what we're on the topics at hand.
We should do a hashtag. Are you a hoax denier?
Is a
hoax denier?
Yeah, that's a good hashtag.
Well, I like the hashtag because, again, let's not try and reinvent the wheel. If we want to try and get people to read Hoy's work and look at Clues Forum and look at Fakeologist, you have to use the fish hooks that they're using. So if they're using hashtags, as foolish and silly as they sound, and often they do sound ridiculous, then try and get a couple hashtags of our own going.
Okay.
Because even if you're posting something that's clear to us, it's not clear to 98% of the population. So perhaps if you put a hashtag on it, and I put a link under chat.fakeologist.com where you can actually search for the hashtag on Twitter and see if anyone else is using it. And that is perhaps how you can connect to other people if they're interested in connecting.
I'd be interested in Hoy's thoughts on Twitter. Like, you can get, 160 characters in that damn thing?
Yeah, not many.
I have not used it. I don't have a phone. I don't have any device that, besides just a laptop. So basically, it seems like too much work to me to constantly. Yeah.
But the laptop.
So you're disconnected from the world in, say, you don't have a Facebook page, you don't have or any of that sort of stuff.
You're disconnected from the zombie masses that have a device super glued to their hand at all times.
Well, I mean, I have my laptop close by me, but yeah, but that's not as easy to take on like a roller coaster or something. So,
I can funnel you everything from Fox News. Don't just keep listening to fakeologist.com, not fakeology.com. Poor Kham. Poor Kham is going, hey, fakeology.com. Have I got to actually pay for that too?
I have to say that I have a so-called smartphone only for the reason to doing what we're doing already.
There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. I try to press the buttons and they don't work for me. I can't seem to get them to work for me. So.
Okay. Well, one day maybe you'll get the hang of it. But they're pretty persistent throughout society now, and they're being used for plane tickets, flashing a coupon and whatnot. So,
well, I'll be the holdover that allows people to have a paper ticket. Then,
well, yeah, there'll always be that group that takes time, but eventually, like all things, they'll get rid of the old fashioned stuff. Like pennies in Canada are gone.
Hey, we're still writing checks in the States. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
Woo-hoo! We're in the dark ages. Hey, Hoy Pali, your thoughts on chemtrails? Are you a chemtrail?
Man, I know that Ab doesn't like him, so I won't pollute his. I won't spray a chemtrail in his radio show.
No, we don't.
Okay. Let's go back to smartphones for a second. You know the acronym SMART stands for allegedly in the military circles.
Yeah, I think we've heard it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Go, Dale.
Eastern System Monitoring and Remote
Telemetry? Oh.
Remote Tracking. It's SMART.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Is that going to make you paranoid, Dale? If you've got one of those things and they can track you every second of the day?
Since 1990-something? I can't remember now.
You don't even have to be paranoid. You just be aware of it. You know, it's like, it's just a fact. It's just a fact. You know, you have nothing to hide, so don't worry about it.
So. Well, that's what they tell us. But it's the invasion
when you wake up,
in the first place. You know what I mean?
I agree.
When you wake up,
no,
it's
going
to steer you to paranoia. Yeah.
It's like everything else. We pick our poisons. We contract here and there. So you get a smartphone, you contract, and you really, you know, just put up with, you know, the bullshit that allegedly they're tracking us everywhere. That could be a double bluff, though, as well. I've often thought about that. You know, maybe they can't track everybody, but they're doing a great job in convincing everybody that
they I don't think they can.
I think it's more like they just they have like those profiling programs, and they're like, okay, this person is up there in percentage, so we track them more often. I think it's more like they just don't worry about the people who are just sitting at home all day. But then there's like, you know, they have robots that scan the web for stuff and say things like, oh, someone mentioned bomb. Were they talking about a TV show?
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
We were just quoting fucking McCain.
Yeah. Not,
yeah, John
yeah, McCain. That guy. Oh, that was such a disgusting joke.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Well, that's the bullshit that they're putting out there, you know. And it's shown also there's a total degeneration of the whole media thing. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that just fell in on itself just out of pure, you know, the people that are behind it. It just gets so, you know, what we're looking at now is just blatant hoaxes. And they've got a stage where they're lazy. They're just maybe too lazy, you know?
Well, it occurred to me the other day that, so why is it that they can keep selling iPhone 3, iPhone 4, iPhone 5, iPhone 100? And I was just wondering, you know, there's like this, it seemed to me that there were maybe like two crowds. One crowd are the early adopters. And they're the people who are going around saying, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Everyone should have one. And then there are those followers. But as soon as the followers catch up to those people, the opinion leaders get offended because the followers are close to them. And they say, oh, no, we have to adopt the next thing. And so basically, if the followers ever catch up to those opinion leaders, then that product dies. And that's why...
Did you say that, that Barack Obama is actually going to do a Google Hangout and a Skype thing with like people, real people, apparently.
Imagine hanging out with Barack Obama or whatever his latest...
Yeah, like right now, yeah.
Jeez.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
What would you ask?
I'd ask him some serious, awful questions. What would like, you ask him, Hoi Polloi? What would if you had one question? If you had one question to ask Barack Obama, what would it be?
It would be
just one.
Okay, my one question would be: what country are you a native of? And did you sleep with that little white boy? And is your name Barry Sotero? And
that's three questions.
Your birth papers? And how did you come to power in Chicago? And yeah, and it would be something else too. That would be my one question.
That's a run-on question.
You left out Larry Sinclair, man. That would really be the icing on the cake.
Oh, that's good. Would you love to be in a room with Barack Obama? I'd love to be in a room with Barack Obama. Just tell me a couple of, like the Pope who wants to restrict our freedom of speech now. Tell me a few things. Why do you cover up for pedophiles? The biggest, pedophiles. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm hesitant to bring that whole David Icke pedophile thread into Clues Forum, but it's so tempting because it's just so disgusting, and I just want to like expose it and talk about things like the Franklin cover up and things. But I feel like it's almost like kind of a distraction because so much of it is rumored and promoted by the media and used as like hit pieces against celebrities and
celebutards.
On that one because that seems because it's been saturated around the so-called mainstream media and also the alternative media. This whole thing with you know, Ike is exposing this. He was exposing lizards before that. It's kind of like...
Yeah, but that makes us all look bad.
Yeah, well, it's not even about making people
look... Queen bad. Is a lizard.
It's kind of like their agenda. You know, all of a sudden, you know, they're exposing this, even in the mainstream. And I know they use that as an excuse then. Oh, Paris happened. But just before Paris, you had feckin' one of the Queen's grandchildren, you know, exposed in this Epstein thing where he had all these sex slaves. And it's just another, you know, media.
It's a circus. Bakery.
Yeah, but it's kind of pushing those ideas and on the population. And it serves it as a distraction to people who actually are so-called waking up to everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's also like just – it kind of like makes you – I don't know. Some people, I assume it would paralyze because they're like, oh, my God, this is so horrific. I'd rather just go back to my old way of thinking about things.
Yeah. Don't want to even deal with this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think we had a pretty good discussion tonight on – Hoy's essay.
Once you learn it, once you've seen it, you can't unlearn it. So once you see September clues, you can't unsee September clues. Once you see cluesforum.info, you can't unsee cluesforum or unread cluesforum.info. I absolutely.
But you can see them and read.
I can hear you. I can hear you. Ab, you're going to leave now. I am so thrilled and proud, and I know pride is the wrong thing, is to talk to you, Hoy Polloi.
Thanks.
And thank you for every bit of work that you do and that opening essay that you did. I want to give the biggest hug. So there we go.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, it was very, very well done, up to your normal level. Very good stuff, and I'm not exaggerating for just because you're a guest on the broadcast. I do really enjoy reading your stuff. You have, and because you're looking into chemtrails, even though I don't see any evidence, despite whatever people want to post here, that doesn't mean they're not happening where you are. So the fact that you guys are weighing in on it will at least let me entertain it more than some of the other evidence that I've seen. But
I honestly have no idea at all about those. That seems to me it requires a lot more investigation.
Yeah.
Before we can say.
But I like that Simon's digging into it too, and at least giving some background info, because there is a lot of stuff that leads one to certain conclusions. But we just have to wonder if they've led us the wrong way, because that certainly is the goal of deception and propaganda, and that's all
true,
we have to deal
with. Although loose change is what led me to find Simon. So in a way, I think that they take that risk when they create the limited hangouts,
that something's
going to fire right through the limited hangout to the correct information. And that's just a risk that they kind of accept because it doesn't happen too often.
Well, they know what the numbers are. They watch the numbers and see. And just like we have this parachuting hoax, which is turning into a really large threat on Clues Forum. So theoretically, people will stumble upon that thread that have never been to Clues Forum and then perhaps branch off into the other research on the forum. And then maybe a few people like that will step over that magic boundary between understanding or accepting reality and then questioning reality. And like Rollo said, once you walk over that threshold, it's really impossible to go back. Despite the massive propaganda out there to get you back and get you thinking that way. So if we...
Well, let's keep meeting and discussing things we can do then. Because I love talking about, you know, the details and the really embarrassing things that they do and just exposes them. But now, I think we can... Yeah, let's keep trying to make something real happen, something good. Positive change.
Yeah, let's see the numbers. Let's see people, real people like yourself, coming on and talking about it, because that's just confirmation and an extra dimension that there are people thinking about what they're seeing, and see if the numbers are increasing at all. I'd like to talk to two more people that can write essays like you, and the passion of Rollo, and of course the radio skills of Dell. Let's get more people. Let's have more discussion for sure. Let's see
If Mathis is too shy of Simon's research, which I think is not a good sign, but maybe he isn't too shy of some radio people that you know, and maybe we could get him interviewed somehow, because he seems interesting.
Well, I sent him a contact request on Fakeologist because I think he has it linked on his own website, but I haven't heard from him back, so that's curious. Unless he doesn't use Skype anymore, that's possible as well. So, anyone that puts their information out there should be able to discuss it, I would think. They should allow for some questioning. That seems reasonable. If you put your if you hang your shingle out there, you should be able to discuss it easily, and you certainly do. You're willing to discuss all your research and all your thoughts and fill in the holes, fill in the blanks.
Yeah, anytime.
Which makes it makes it more accessible too. Makes it more understandable. So I don't understand why others can't do the same. That's why I do attempt to talk to some of these people from my background, and when you don't get an answer, it just makes it curious, even if it's for a 15-minute chat. So,
yeah, I've had the same stonewalling. I don't want to assume the worst, but at the same time, I agree with you because I don't understand why. Why can't you at least just say, you know, send me a cursory email like, I'll get back to you or something.
Yeah. And some people do talk that have an agenda, and when they're questioned by different people, callers, then some cracks emerge, and it's difficult to control these those kind of situations. So perhaps they don't want to be exposed in any way. Maybe that's just a defense mechanism. If you can't control the situation on, say, a live radio broadcast.
You sound like you're a control freak. Like, you sound like you should be medicated, Ab, when you talk like that.
I don't know. I mean,
what are you saying, Roland?
I was hesitant to get on this show because there were people like Pete saying, like, oh, you're so suspicious because you might be even the same person as Simon.
And right, I was like, okay,
I don't even want to deal with that accusation because it's so stupid. I don't want to give it airtime.
All right.
So,
Evil Edna or Sarah Tacon.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair comment.
Yeah,
Dell, you were saying?
I'm just saying that's like paranoia meets Psyopticon, you know, with people out there trying to attack, you know. Man, you have to take that step, and you did, you know, and that's the point, you know.
But I also did it on what I feel are somewhat my own terms, which it was important to me to do that, to take a step back, watch the situation a bit, and yeah, now I think Ab is good people. So,
I think did not cut the guy quickly enough. Sometimes you do need to cut people, as you do, Hoy, on Clues Forum, when people start writing ridiculous things. Yeah, off you go. Yeah, we thought you were a good guy. No, see you later.
Yeah, but Ab is alone, and I have Simon to bounce ideas off of. It's easier for me because I'm like, you know, Simon and I disagree on who to ban sometimes.
That's exactly what I'm saying. How quickly do you ban them? And of course, that whole Psyopticon mess on Fakeologist.
It wasn't that big of a deal, let's be honest. Let's not give it more attention and more gravity than it really deserves. It was a blip in the whole thing, I would say, in the great totality of what we're talking about. And that's another thing. I don't like this whole thing to turn into a battle of personalities. That's certainly not what we're talking about.
Exactly.
You can't help it.
And you can read essays like Hoy's and remember it has nothing to do with the personalities. This is,
when it comes to radio, it's about personalities. You can't help it, Ab. You're a personality.
Yeah.
Hoy, you're a personality. Simon Shack is a personality. Dell is certainly a personality. I'm a deadbeat.
Yeah. But the point is, we're getting thoughts and ideas out there, and as soon as it goes to personalities, we get off topic, and that's what I don't like, and I try and steer it the best I can.
I think that's fair. It's like, it is true, Rolo, that it is about personalities because, yeah, that's like the human interest level. But then
like, I think it's also fair to say let's just try to downplay that because it's also about research. Well, yeah.
And Rollo, when you talk, say, about Rupert Murdoch, or when we talk about Larry Silverstein,
scumbag.
Exactly, but it just blows apart the point. That's not what we're talking about. They're people, and
all right.
You see what I'm saying? But those are the hooks that they grab you by.
Yeah,
they're easy hooks.
He's just the top of the pyramid in what I can see.
And
he owns.
That's right. That you can see. That's the key point. The key point.
He was English, and then he became ahead, Australian.
Dom. Yes,
that's
Dom.
What they tell us, though, Rollo. You remember I've said this to you before,
that's
man.
That's right. That's right.
That's it, that's what they tell us. They give us these little people on the screen to give out about.
Yes. What does citizenship mean to you then, Del? It's something that was drummed into me when I was a youngster, that where you're born. Yeah, I just don't understand when people.
Yeah, right. Citizenship.
I hear you, Rollo. It's like when people just don't. It almost sounds like people are giving up to you.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's like Rupert Murdoch was an English citizen, and then he came down, or Australian, and then went to England and became, and then he got, now I'm going to get American citizenship. You know, the guy knew the system. This is why this scumbag got to the top. It's scumbags that get
okay.
to the
top. All right. We get it. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap it up now. Thank you, Hoy. Thank you, Rollo. And thank you, Delcroix. Let's continue talking. And
thanks, guys. Very enjoyable. I liked and I appreciate the emotional outburst as well.
I think it comes from a good place.
We can have an after party off air or not?
I'm really hungry, but maybe after that.
Anyone can go to the after party. That's good. At TeamSpeak, you can go there at audiochat.fakeologist.com. If anyone's listening and wants to discuss, follow up on the show, be my guest. But I also have to step away now and move around.
Can I make one more comment? One more comment.
Sometime I'd like to tell you vis-a-vis the chemtrail thing, because I don't put it this way. My YouTube channel, basically, I started in 2007, and I was going on about chemtrails because I saw them for the first time. Right?
That's okay. The thing. Yeah.
And bloody hell! Basically, my YouTube channel is just slideshows of me taking bloody pictures of chemtrails out there.
That's great. That's evidence.
Evidence. It is evidence. But what I was also going to say there, Hoy, is what I was getting on the internet, right, vis-a-vis all these people who, all of a sudden, like miraculously, know what's in them. And it goes back to the likes of Clifford Carnicom and that. And I was listening to all this, and I was bloody scared. It's kind of like, an Alex Jones, fear mongering thing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then fast forward up to now, where with even Simon's take on the chemtrails, it makes more sense to me. It's literally, that sort of opened up a new possibility, Because for me with the chemtrails, I was just like this, and even now, you look out and you see them; they're spraying away, and
I don't see them at all.
I did not see them in Australia. I did not see them in Korea, but I see them constantly in Minnesota. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means.
Hoy, there was the thing. I never saw them. I used to listen to Jeff Rentz, and he'd have Clifford Cameron, and I was thinking,
Jeff Rentz.
Oh my God, people are getting sprayed, and I've seen the pictures from various people putting up pictures. But it wasn't until one day here in Ireland that I actually seen them. Do you know what I mean? And they were probably there before that. But that's just my speculation. Because literally, you can't give a first-hand testimony until you see them yourself. And I saw the feckin' things.
Yeah.
And, you know, listening to all their fear mongering, I got all wound up about it, and I was going around trying to explain it to people, and that was my thing here. Was the
Kent where do you go? Where do you go, Alex Jones? Jeff Rentz after 9/11. Where do you go? Those two scumbags.
Yeah, well, you know, that was one of my, you know, things that I'd done before I started, you know, doing what I'm doing now.
But I think, yeah, sometimes we got to rescue the dialogue from those scumbags. We got to there is some useful stuff. Like 9/11 was talked about by a bunch of clearly like gatekeeper type people before we finally said, "Oh, wait a minute. Wow."
Exactly. Oi, that is the key. Because it's the same with the feckin' chemtrails. I researched into that, you know, as much as anybody could. And, you know, you would be afraid of all the bullshit that I've been, you know, finding out about over the years.
When you say it's the key, though.
I've changed my opinion. No, sorry, Rollo, but I have changed my opinion, you know, because, A, I don't know what the hell they're spraying. They could be spraying steam for all I know. And it'd be just
let's hope it's just that.
Psychological effect, right? It's not till you go into the internet and we're being told about the, you know, the barium, the aluminium and desiccated blood cells and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I was at, you know, when I was telling people about this stuff, you know? So even that has to be... I have to stand back from all that and feckin', you know, really analyze it, you know?
I think Ab has some really good points about it too, but yeah, I think he's also trying to wrap up this show.
Sounds like we could have a chemtrail discussion as well.
Yeah, that's...
Ab, really tell us, Ab, your thoughts on chemtrails. Is it a belief or non-belief or... You can talk about it round and round in circles, just like 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see them here where I am. I've seen people say that they have video in Toronto. I work around the airport. All I smell is av fuel because there's no emissions on planes. That's not to say it's not happening in the United States because, of course, as we've discussed earlier, it is the most militarized country in the history of the planet. And anything and everything could be happening down there. But I... This is not the United States, so I don't see it here, but I like Simon's history of it, and I don't mind looking at it, but that's pretty much my position on it. I don't have a great interest in it either.
Hashtag?
That's great.
Bacologist.
But I do have a great interest in...
Bacologist after party.
Exactly. Cluesforum.info and Hoy's great essays. I wish there were more people that could write good philosophical essays on fakeology, media fakery, and Hoy is really good. So read his essay, and I posted it on my episode 132, and I'm sure Hoy will probably put it over on Clues Forum as well as part
of
that.
You guys are so supportive and nice. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, everybody.
Kiss you, Hoy.
Love to have a chat with you sometime. You know,
yeah, go to the audio chat. You guys can carry on, no problem.
All right.
Yeah. All right. All right, take care, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now they're planning the crime of the century. Well, what will it be? Read all about their schemes and adventuring. Yes, it's...
Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Radio. We do this show most Saturday nights. We stream our show 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Contact us at contact.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. Our backup site is fakeologist.wordpress.com. We're dedicated to exploring the world of media fakery. Since you're aware, point others to our website and let them discover a reality that they probably never knew existed.
But that's not right. Oh no, what's the story?
but there's you and there's me.